Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And welcome to Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And this is, we invite you into the class. And, well, in fact, you're already here, right? Amen. Glory to God. Let's invite the rest of the world into our class this morning. Thank you, Jesus. If I had to pick, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, then the gospel is preached in the book of Romans. It is the gospel according to the Apostle Paul. And then you come over to the book of Hebrews, which is the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. And then, you know, there's people who want to fuss about that. You don't be fussing about that. In fact, who else but this great teacher? I mean, a Pharisee of Pharisees that was persecuting Jesus, thinking he was doing right. Then Jesus changed his name from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle, indicating that he was in covenant with him. A great change of names in covenant, which God started, 17th chapter of Genesis. In the 5th chapter, for your information, the mission statement of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I noticed this back as a student at Oral Roberts University, and at the same time, almost immediately, as co-pilot on the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association airplane, but almost immediately I was introduced to the ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin, and Oral Roberts was my father in the spirit, my spiritual father, and then Kenneth Hagin was my very close mentor, and he fathered the Word of Faith message in glory in me. And right here is our mission statement in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again. So that's my job. Which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. And that's why it is so important in this college to be taught, and come from the milk of babies to what? But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To be skillful in the word of righteousness, so that we are no longer spiritual babies, but we go from the milk of the word. The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Well, yes. And when all of us, I don't care how old you were when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a spiritual baby. And it bothers me to see and to know that there are people that born again, healing, believing, tongue talking believers that are still babies. Well, you can't blame the devil for it, and you can't blame the pastor for it. people could read the Word and find that out. But what did we read yesterday? How can they hear without a preacher? You're going to have to find a preacher that preaches the Word of faith, a church that preaches the Word of faith. If someone, now I know this is not any of you, maybe some of you were raised in a church like this, that someone that taught that healing has passed away. Well, what day did it pass away? Jesus said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha, yeah, the God that heals. That's one of His redemptive names. We receive Him as the God Shalom, the God of our peace. Well, if I cannot accept He's the God of the healer, then I have no right to accept that He's the God of my peace. But Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, and the chastisement of my peace was upon Him. Yes. 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 I got tickled at Gloria. She said, well, some prophet would have to stand up and say, okay, the 32nd of next month, healing is over. After, you better get your healing today, because after that, I'm not healing anybody again ever. Well, when did He change His name? No, He is the same. There's no shadow of changing or turning in Him. No variableness in Him ever. He doesn't need to change. He's right the first time. And He's always been the healer, because the devil is the one that brought sickness and disease. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Any kind of sickness, disease, and pain is satanic oppression. So put Him on the run and receive your healing. Preach healing. Teach it, preach it, and expect it to happen. In congregations, expect it to happen on the street. Expect it to happen. You park in a parking garage, and you turn to the attendant in a parking garage, and you say, let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I got on an elevator in a hotel, and there's a young woman in there, and I said, do you know Jesus as your Lord? She said, brother, I'm saved. And she had that look in her eye. She is one of them. I am saved. I said, do you know He's coming soon? Yes, amen. In a hotel freight elevator going to the auditorium. Yes, I'm saved, brother. I enjoyed testifying to people like that. What if she'd have said, well, not really. We'd have fixed that. Amen. And then we would have gone one more step. Now, sweetheart, let me tell you something. You need to be speaking in tongues. I was told that passed away. No, he's still alive. Yes. Now do these things, because he's coming soon, and you need this to know how to pray. Now, you need healing in your body. Let's get it all while we're doing. Amen. Nobody will turn you down. Nobody. Praise God. I could tell you more stories. Now, when the thing I want you to see here, come into the sixth chapter. We are going to read something that is very sacred, and it has to do with the healing ministry. Are you ready? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine or the teachings of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation or the fundamental teachings of Christ. You could say that, right? In fact, I think it's one translation that says that. I don't remember now, but anyway. Laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms. Now, we talked about that earlier this week. The Scripture says we are baptized into the body of Christ. I'm going to leave it up to you to look them up. It's easy. It's in the letters of Paul. We're baptized in water. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Then we are baptized by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. If you had a container of water, and water baptism, born again, then water baptism. Now, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you pour some more water in that cup until it runs out. And now that water is on the cup. Jesus said, didn't we read this yesterday? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach. Yes. Oh, I'll tell you, it just flashes. I remember it. Now, Gloria and I both were scriptural illiterates. T.L. Osborne said, Copeland, you were born free. He said, you didn't have any religion to unlearn. Well, we didn't. I was raised in a Southern Baptist home, but I didn't pay any attention. And Gloria was raised in a church that didn't believe everything had passed away. And anyway, I said, Gloria, isn't it wonderful? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell the same story. She said, it's wonderful, isn't it? And we were so hungry to read those stories. So then we got married in April of 1962, April 13th of 1962, on Friday evening, April the 13th. That day 13 was very important to Gloria and me. And so then about 8 o'clock in the evening. And then she got saved then in October, and I got saved in the first week of November of that year. Then in the first part of 1963, we went to a meeting, and my mother and dad went to that meeting. They were sitting right behind us, and they gave an invitation to come receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I turned around to my mother and I said, is that something you ought to have? She said, you need to have that. Well, I just grabbed Gloria by the hand and up we went. And it was old time Pentecost. The men are all praying for me and the women all praying for Gloria. No instructions whatsoever. I mean, literally, hang on, brother, and another, and shouting, let go, brother, and let go. I didn't know what they wanted me to do. So I just kind of stood there like that, you know, nothing. And they gave up. So Gloria was, I was standing here, and Dr. Bill Reed was standing there with me. And he had a deep voice like this. So he said, let's go pray for Gloria. Well, when I turned around and looked, she was right there about that far away, and her back was to me, and all the women, all they're praying and praying and going on and on and on. And Gloria's just standing there as dumbfounded as I was. She just stood there. I'm standing here like that's the way my dad stood at church. He's deacon in the Baptist church. Well, he wasn't anymore, because when he got full of the Holy Ghost, like Brother Hagin, he got the left foot of fellowship from among the Baptists and became a member of Grace Temple Church here in Fort Worth. And Harold Nichols became our pastor. So Gloria and I and John and Kelly were all baptized in water. I'd been baptized in water as a little Baptist boy, about 9 years old. I went down front. That's what you call getting saved in a Baptist church. Nobody said anything to me about being born again. I filled out a card. Is this the first time you've ever done that? Yes. And the pastor shook my hand. That's it. Anyway. So Dr. Reed said, lay your hand on her. No. My own wife. No. I'm in a strange environment. He said, lay your hand on her. I said, no. He said, lay your hand on her. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Now, this was in a hotel meeting room, so they had created a little platform. There wasn't but one step. There's some chairs up there. And I stumbled back there and sat down in one of those chairs. And he just said, no more English. Oh, Jesus. Now, I had to fly back to Little Rock. Gloria stayed all night. She received the next morning. That's the first time she had ever heard the word born again. When she accepted Jesus, all she said was, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Well, he did. So I had to fly back. This was on a Sunday, and I had to fly back to Little Rock. And so I left. It's in the night. January night is cold and clear. I mean, you know, visibility was, just unlimited. And so I'm sitting up there watching that little airplane run. No autopilot in it. It was a small airplane that was used as a trainer and so forth. And it belonged to the company I worked for. And I was just sitting there. I said it out loud. I said, Lord, and I really don't know where I got the word anoint. I heard it, I guess, in those meetings we were in. I'm sure I must have. I said, Lord. Now, see, you can tell I wasn't raised in a Pentecostal church. Lord, now, I'm not too sure I know all that much about what happened to me back there again, but I'm going to say some of those words again. I didn't have any fear of that. Why should I think I'd say the wrong thing? I don't know how I said what I said. So I'm going to say some of those words again. And if there's anything to this, anoint it. Oh. And I just thought back and just close as I could said something that I thought I heard myself say, you know, an hour or two before. Because I had to go to the airport, pre-fly the airplane, and get, you know, everything all established, get in the airplane, take off, climb to altitude, and think a little while. And then I talked out loud to the Lord. So I said, I'm going to say it again. And then I'm going, oh, dear Lord. And here it came again. I mean, just rolling out of me. And then, you know how you can speak in tongues and think at the same time. And I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm beginning to see the lights of Little Rock. I'm going to have to call approach control, and you're going to have to either give. I'm going to have to speak in English, or you're going to have to fix their ears. Little Rock approach control. I thought, yeah, it worked. That's how little I knew. It worked. Got on the ground, got out of that airplane. I danced around that ramp. I blessed that airplane. I spoke in tongues. I blessed my car. I just blessed everything I could find. And I've been doing it ever since. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, Let's look here. The principal doctrines of Christ: faith toward God, baptisms, and look, right in the middle, what do you see as the principal doctrine of Christ right in the middle of His teachings? What? What? Laying on of hands. Why? For healing? Yes. For people to receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. Amen. Now, you preachers, I had the privilege of ordaining someone just a couple of days ago. Oh, what an honor. And the only problem you have is you get to preaching on it, and you go through all these scriptures, and you don't want to quit. You just want to preach, 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 preach. But then I obeyed God and anointed her with oil. In the name of Jesus, I separate you unto the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now you go and you heal the sick. I went through all these same scriptures. In reading the biography of Smith Wigglesworth, when he would send an anointed cloth, he would anoint it with oil, because he anointed people with oil a lot in ministering to the sick. And he would anoint that handkerchief with oil. And he used oil in his ministry a lot. Amen. And you and I should too. Now, I carry a little flask of oil in my Bible case all the time. I had a situation in Nigeria. We were leaving. We flew in the helicopter from Bishop Oyedepo's place, which is just a little ways from Lagos. And our plane was at the airport in Lagos. And I had my foot on the door of the airplane about to get in. And Brother Copeland, I turned around, and here this young man came, and he literally slid up in front of me on his knees. And there were two more that came up there and did the same thing and just got on their knees like this. So I got my oil bottle. I really didn't know what I was going to say to these young men, but it came out of my mouth. I anointed them with oil, with the oil of gladness, into their ministries. And while I was doing that, two more, all of these guys worked on the ramp, ran up there and just slid up there and wanted to be anointed with oil. And we're out of time. But there's always next week. Amen. Hallelujah. And for the rest of the story, no, we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome, everybody, to Kenneth Copeland Bible College this morning. We're talking about Jesus' healing ministry and how important that ministry was then and is now, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything goes over the top when you know how to believe it and receive it. It is a year of release. It is a year from heaven's release. Glory to God. Everything you need, everything you want, for your personal life, for your ministry.
I loved listening to Brother Copeland talk about healing. Just as he was talking and just this revelation of how much that God wants us to be healed. It's already there. We just have to reach out and say, God, you've already paid the price for it by sending Jesus. Now I'm going to receive it because it's already there.
More than you can ask or think that's working in you. Glory to God. Working in you, you go to more, and then 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 more, and we're out of time. Glory to God, hallelujah.
Brother Copeland has taught us that faith needs corresponding action. That simply means you prove your faith by doing what God tells you to do. Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to sow in response to the word that you've heard. The principle of faith and corresponding action can be applied to every area of life, including our finances. For instance, take a look at Luke 6:38, and it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be met back to you again." Choose to agree with what Luke 6:38 says about you in the Word of God. Apply corresponding action by sowing your seed. Then call in your harvest. For 55 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have preached the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. And those voices include books, downloads, the Victory Channel, the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, magazines, social media, the website, meetings, Eagle Mountain International Church and Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and we are still growing. Partners, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in sowing into and praying for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Let me pray over your offering right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word said, "Give and it shall be given." And our partners are so faithful to give. And now we're coming into agreement with them and believing with them for the harvest, a mighty harvest, a huge multiplied harvest of increase in their lives, to take care of every need that they have according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you again for joining us here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College in the class today. And we'll see you next week. And until then, remember that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord. Praise God.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.